Hi, everybody. I'm Brittany Lewis with Forbes Breaking News. Joining me now is Congresswoman Kathy Manning. Congresswoman, thank you so much for joining me.
My pleasure.
As we have seen over the past week, Columbia and other universities have seen encampments, pro-Palestinian encampments, and protests crop up on their campuses. You actually visited Columbia University a few days ago. Can you talk about your experience?
Yes, I was happy to be there to see firsthand what's going on. And sadly, what we saw both on the campus and outside the campus is well beyond free speech and exchange of ideas. The agitators outside the gates of the campus were screaming really offensive things, calling for the destruction of the state of Israel, calling for a death to Jews, really unbelievable things that made it particularly intimidating for Jewish students trying to get on the campus to go to class and go about their studies. On the campus itself, we saw the quad, the main quad at the school, about half of it has been turned into a tent city with signs, people chanting, drums being beaten, and something that is not really people just chanting to help the people in Gaza who are in distress, but calling for many of them for the destruction of Israel, saying things that are really hostile to Jewish students. And I could understand how it would be very intimidating, particularly for students walking around at night, trying to get to the library. We talked to one law student who said she's just been trying to sit in the library and study for her exams, and the chants and the drumming are so loud and overwhelming, she can't even concentrate to study for her exams.
So you're saying that you've seen anti-Semitic activity actually on campus, actually in this encampment?
I saw statements being made, I heard comments being made that were very offensive and really create a hostile atmosphere for Jewish students and for any students who are trying to go about their work of being students and get ready for their exams. The other thing we saw was the risers being set up for graduation. And of course, there are concerns. The students who are graduating this year are the same students who 4 years ago couldn't have a normal high school graduation. Here, their college graduation could be disrupted by chants and protests. And it's just a shame that these same students who 4 years ago didn't get a normal graduation are not going to have one this time around either.
I talked to some of your Republican colleagues earlier this week, Congresswoman Nicole Malliotakis and Congressman Anthony D'Esposito. Both had visited Columbia, but I talked to Nicole Malliotakis before her visit and D'Esposito after his. Both called for Columbia President Shafeek to resign. Is that a call you echo?
It was interesting. I listened to the speaker in their presentation yesterday. What the speaker said was, if President Shafeek cannot get her campus under control, then she should resign. I agree with his statement. I think this is a very difficult situation. They want to allow free speech, but they want to make sure that the campus is a place where students can learn and all students, including Jewish students, can participate fully in their education. I understand that the president has called for a hybrid class situation where students can attend online or in person, and the suggestion had been made by someone that the Jewish students should attend online. That would be a disaster. I don't think we want to create a two-tiered educational system where Jewish students can only attend online to stay safe and other students have to attend on campus. I think the most important thing is to enforce the school's rules on peaceful protest and make sure that all students are kept safe and can participate in person in their classes.
Congresswoman, what is your timeline here for Shafeek to get this campus under control? The encampment cropped up a week ago today, and there isn't a sense that the students and the encampment, the protesters, are leaving anytime soon. So when do you think she needs to get the campus under control or resign?
My understanding is that the NYPD went in last night and they did peacefully remove students who are violating the rules of the campus. I have not been able to see what's going on the campus today, but if there were peaceful removals last night, if that continues and they enforce the campus rules appropriately and across the board, then I think we should see progress on that campus. But there are more steps that I would like to see taken. And I said this when the president was at our hearing in Congress. They need to make sure that in the discrimination training that takes place on their campus right now, that they insert anti-Semitism training into that anti-discrimination training. Because right now, there's nothing being taught to students about the perils and dangers of anti-Semitism, not just to Jews, but also to the foundations of our democracy. I'd like to see that training be given to the faculty. And I'd also like to have the school ensure that anti-Semitism is not being encouraged or espoused by faculty members, particularly faculty members in their Middle East Studies department, because after October 7th, we saw some pretty horrific statements being published by professors at that school. Those kinds of anti-Israel statements, things that call for the destruction of the state of Israel, those I believe are anti-Semitic, and those need to be addressed by the president and the administrators.
Earlier this week, some of the faculty walked out in solidarity with those protesters. What do you make of that? A, and do you think that action is anti-Semitic?
I don't know exactly what those professors were saying. I do know that there was an Israeli professor who was trying to get on the campus to have a counter protest, a protest that would be supportive of Israel and supportive of the Jewish students. He was not allowed on the campus. And I would like to know exactly what happened with that professor, why he was kept off the campus. If there is going to be free speech and peaceful protest for one side of this argument, there has to be the same right for people who are protesting for the safety of the state of Israel. And by the way, one thing I did not see on that campus was people protesting against the horrific actions that were committed by Hamas. Hamas invaded Israel. Hamas slaughtered 1,200 people. There were rapes. There were gruesome atrocities. They continue to hold hostages. And just yesterday, we saw a video released of an American hostage, Hirsch Goldberg Polin, whose half of his arm was blown off by a grenade that Hamas threw into one of the shelters that people were hiding in at the Nova Festival. Hirsch has been held now for, I think, 201 days. I didn't see any of the protesters asking for the release of the hostages, particularly American hostages. So there's a lot of need for this to be a teachable moment for great universities to take this on as an opportunity to have conversations about what's been going on in the Middle East for many, many years now, and also for what the true facts on the ground are. And I'd like to see people talking about the hostages and the fact that Hamas, what they did has brought this disaster on to the very Palestinian people that they are supposed to be governing and protecting.
I was going to ask you about the hostages because in my conversation with Congressman D'Esposito, in his visit, he didn't see any of the protesters calling for the release of the hostages either. But your colleague, Jamal Bowman, called Speaker Mike Johnson's visit a, quote, attempt to silence anti-war and pro-Palestinian sentiment. Congressman Bowman is a Democrat. What is your reaction to those comments?
I don't agree with him. I think that the attempt by the speaker and the attempt by the president is to make sure that students are kept safe, that students can learn, that there is not a discrimination and a harassment of Jewish students. And that is what we saw on campus, discrimination and harassment against Jewish students. I believe in the right for peaceful protest, but a university has the right to set the time, place, and manner of those protests. Columbia University recently released a report by their anti-Semitism task force. It was very specific about what the time, manner, and place of protest should be, and it also said that students need to be held accountable for violating the school's rules. That's what I think should be happening.
Have you spoken to Education Secretary Miguel Cardona yet about this?
I spoke to him before the current outbreak of protest took place. And I talked to him specifically about the growth of anti-Semitism across the country, but specifically on college campuses. I talked to him about the need for more anti-Semitism education, and I talked to him about the need to make sure that in the history departments, the political science departments, the Middle East departments, there needs to be assurances that there is a full range of ideas being taught, that there is diversity in those ideas. And I asked, for example, when we spoke with the Columbia president at the hearing, are there any professors in their Middle East Studies department who support the right of Israel to exist as a Jewish state? If they're not, then there are some real questions to be raised about what are, is there appropriate diversity of view among the professors teaching in on their campus?
We've seen a spike in anti-Semitism in this country since October 7th, particularly on college campuses throughout the country. Columbia is an elite university here. Do you think the White House needs to be doing more, and the Biden administration?
I absolutely do. I have called for the Department of Education and the Department of Justice to work together to give guidance to universities on what they can do to make sure that students are kept safe while still allowing for appropriate free speech. I've also filed a bill. It's a bipartisan bill, the Countering Anti-Semitism Act, a bipartisan bill in the House, the same exact bill being introduced by my colleague Jackie Rosen and James Lankford in the Senate. This bill would do a variety of things to address the growth of anti-Semitism. Anti-Semitism was growing long before October 7th. It's been growing for several years now since the prior administration took over, and it has gotten much worse since October 7th. My bill would call for the appointment of a national coordinator in the White House to coordinate an interagency task force of all the appropriate agencies to make sure they are doing what needs to be done to address anti-Semitism. It would also call for the appointment of a special official in the Department of Education to make sure that the department understands what is going on college campuses with regard to anti-Semitism, and to give instruction to schools about what they have the right to do and what they have the obligation to do to keep Jewish students safe and to counter anti-Semitism.
The bill's bipartisan, bicameral. What's next for it? Is there any indication it's going to pass and anytime soon?
I am going to do everything I can to make sure that this bill gets brought to the House floor. My team just this morning has written a letter to the Speaker to ask him to bring that bill to the House floor for a vote. Clearly, he made comments last night at Columbia that show that he's very concerned about anti-Semitism. My bill is a way for him to do something that would really address that. And I hope to speak with the Speaker about it when we return to Congress next week.
I know that there was a group of Democrats who visited Columbia. There were also a group of Republicans who visited Columbia. Do you think Republicans in general and in the House are more vocal about combating anti-Semitism? One of your colleagues, Ilhan Omar, visited the University of Minnesota's encampment. She spoke in solidarity with those protesters there, and she said this, quote, "I am incredibly moved by your courage and bravery as a student body in putting your bodies on the line to stand in solidarity to end the genocide that is taking place in Gaza at this moment." Do you think Democrats need to do more to combat anti-Semitism?
First of all, I do not believe there is a genocide taking place in Gaza. I think what has happened in Gaza as a result of the war that was brought on by Hamas is terrible. I think we have pushed to get more humanitarian aid into Gaza, and we have pushed for for the release of the hostages and a ceasefire that would allow even more aid to get in there. Hamas has rejected the last five ceasefire options. There were very clear proposals put on the table. Hamas has rejected all five proposals. They are not prepared to release the hostages, including American hostages. There are many Democrats that are speaking out against the anti-Semitism, and there are many Republicans who are speaking out against anti-Semitism. This can't be something that's only supported by one party. It's going to take both parties, and it's going to take an all-of-government effort to counter and combat anti-Semitism in this country. And I think we all have to remember that what starts with discrimination against Jews throughout history, it's never ended with discrimination against Jews. It has bled over into discrimination against other minorities. Anytime you see the growth of anti-Semitism in a country that's a democracy, you need to worry about what's happening to the foundations of that democracy. That's why we are so concerned. It is, of course, because we're worried about the Jewish community, but we're also worried about what's happening to the foundations of our democracy.
Anti-Semitism, as you said earlier, swelled October 7th, has been a problem before in this country, obviously. It's really reached, this conversation has reached a flashpoint right now when we're seeing these encampments, these protests on college campuses. You were at Columbia. What do you think's missing from the national conversation?
What's missing from the national conversation is civil dialogue about what caused this conflict in the Middle East. Many years of peace attempts have been rejected by the Palestinians. The Palestinians have not been well served by their leaders. The other thing that's missing from the conversation is a real understanding of what is anti-Semitism, what makes it unique, what makes it dangerous. And I had a colleague ask me, you know, what is anti-Semitism all about? And I said, anti-Semitism is the oldest hatred. It is a shape-shifting conspiracy theory that blames on the Jews whatever the evil of a particular society is experiencing. And people need to understand that anti-Semitism always leads to disaster, not just for the Jewish people, but for an entire society. And that's why it's so important that we counter anti-Semitism, that we educate people about what anti-Semitism is, and whether anti-Semitism is on the right or on the left, it's always destructive.
Congresswoman, thank you so much for coming on today. I appreciate the conversation. You're welcome back anytime.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.